The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
Those who have served through the ages have drawn inspiration from the book of Isaiah, when the Lord says, "Whom shall I send? Who shall go for us?" The American military has been answering for a long time, "Here I am, Lord, send me."
They've damaged themselves, the experts, because in issue after issue, you can see that often, rather than expertise speaking, it's ideology.
We gather together in the assembly of the congregation to meet Jesus, because we need him. He doesn't need us, we need him. And I think this is a crucial point that is often missed.
The fathers of the church called this the rite of Christian burial. And that's probably the best name for the whole business, because we are blessing our beloved dead by burying their bodies in the hope of the resurrection.
This is Will from Michigan, and I'm a Lutheran high school teacher and football coach. And I love beginning my day listening to Issues Etc. All right, guys, let's go.
Proverbs 29:18 is often cited. When there is no vision, the people perish. Or in the New King James, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. It's often cited as, well, the pastor needs to have a vision for the congregation. And if he doesn't do that, then the people will perish. They need to do some vision casting. Is that what that proverb actually means? And how does it fit into the greater context of that section of Proverbs 29? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our series on the book of Proverbs continues. Another conversation with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of the Sons of Solomon on Proverbs 29. Dr. John Bombaro will join us to discuss preaching and the big screen. Many people believe they belong together. He says no, they don't. And then Josh Pauling will be alongside. We will talk about why and how the worship space replaced the sanctuary. Joining us for our series on the book of Proverbs today, Proverbs 29, beginning at verse 14, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois, advocate of the Sons of Solomon, and author of several books, including his latest, Without Flesh. Jonathan, welcome.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
We're going to talk quite a bit here in Proverbs 29, beginning at verse 14, about the fourth commandment, the commandment about honor your father and mother. How broad is that commandment?
It's huge. It's huge. Dr. Luther, in the Small Catechism, rightly ties the commandment to honor your father and your mother to every type and level of authority that humans run into in all the relationships and vocations of our long lives. And in this way, then, the king, as the Proverbs are going to talk about, is just one form of God's will for fatherhood amongst mankind. That is, that amongst all mankind, we would see each other as having come from the same mother, and in that way, being brothers. And that even if an oldest brother among us has to lead the way, he would do so again as one of us. And so the father of mankind, that is, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has appointed his son to be the risen king and our, in fact, Lord and Savior, he has built into this world that he is saving that same reality. And it is shown forth when a king receives whatever authority he is given and uses it for those who are under him, for their good rather than for his own good. And then those who are under him, whatever authority is dispersed, whatever comes down from above, it is given for those who are further below still. So that the authority in a good king's kingdom, the reign, is on behalf of the poor, that is, those who are lowest, those who are furthest down, among whom there will, of course, be one who is a father of only a few and only has those children given to him and his wife to care for. So this commandment is exceedingly broad, as Psalm 119 says. It is nonetheless nuanced in such a way as to apply to every man and even then woman and child that comes across it. So beginning with verse 14, which says, "The king who judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever." A person caught up in the arguments of the last couple of hundred years might get into some debate about whether democracy or republicanism or divine right of kings is the right way to put together a society of peoples or something like that. And I suppose you can go that direction from this verse. But I think the idea here is more about something that C.F.W. Walther, the father of the Missouri Synod in many ways, has as an insight in his preaching manual, Law and Gospel. And that is that the only power that the church has, and in this way, the only power that a pastor has, is the power of the Word of God. So it doesn't do a pastor any good to pick up a sword and try to convert people with it, because it won't work. And the only power of the reign of Jesus Christ is the power of his word spoken. You know, he is risen, alleluia, all that kind of stuff, the creed, all that kind of stuff. That, I think, also is a reflection of just the reality that we live in, that the real power of a king is the sword, but it's only the sword insofar as he can convince the guy with the sword to use it. So a king, before he does anything, even rule with the sword, must rule with his words. And in this, then, if he judges without truth, if his words are poor words, well, then his reign's not going to last. But if he judges those who are beneath him, that's everyone who's under his authority, with the goal of truth, with their good in mind, well, then his words are going to have that effect. His throne will be established forever. Now, this is just a general advice about how to be a good father. Care for those underneath you with truth, right? Let the scriptures be the thing that you speak to your family, and your throne, that would be your name, right? Your family lineage. You as a people in the everlasting kingdom of God will be established forever. Because in fact, Jesus Christ, the real final ultimate king, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, all that, you know, he has judged you, poor sinner that you are, beggar that you are, with the truth of his righteousness, so that his throne indeed is established on your behalf forever. There's so much here. How exceedingly broad is this commandment indeed. But then bring it back here to the father in the home with his son, because that's really where the text wants us to be thinking. And verse 15 is going to go right from there, where it says that the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Now, the big idea here is that the rod, before it is like the switch you got to have the kid get from the yard for the spanking or whatever, before it is that, the rod in Old Testament and ancient world thinking is more like your staff. And in that regard, it's a walking stick, but it's also a sign of who you are. It becomes an emblem, an image of authority. So that the more wealthy you get, the further away from, say, herding your flocks you are, the shorter your rod might become until it's not a rod, but say, a scepter, that kind of thing, right? But the rod then is the scepter of the family. So see the rod here not as an actual stick, although having a staff, whittling one, that can be a really cool hobby. But the thing here is that you have authority within the family in the family name. And once upon a time, the rod was an image of that name. Will such times come again? Well, go cut down a branch and make a stick. I don't know. The point is, first, own your name and your authority within the family, especially if you're the man, for the sake of wisdom, which means when you feel anger rise in the chest at the boy or the girl, you know, it probably is not wisdom at that point. It probably is something else. But that wisdom does see that there is a wide, dangerous path, and there is a thin, safe, true path, and we want to guide our children into that. And of course, then, if both father and mother ignore the child, the boy, he will become what he is born to be, which is a sinner. He will become a shame-filled human being who only does what his passions drive him to do, and who spends most of his life trying to justify it to both himself and others by any means possible. This is what verse 16 then says is happens as the wicked are multiplied, right? So those who are raised without parents, those who are never given something as a heritage or a legacy, orphans, as it were, left to the street, when they rise, they are multiplied into more transgression. Because we see this these days as love grows cold all around us, that people who are hungry for their own idolatry are more than willing to go into violent talk and or even action against those who are worshiping different kinds of idols. And so against each other, everything just gets worse and worse. This is why we're told that folly, unbelief, always tears itself down with its own hands. Indeed, that's what it says next. Rest of verse 16, but the righteous will see their fall. So those who continue to judge the world with the truth of God's word, patiently enduring what we see, will see all of it rectified at that day when Christ comes again. So then verse 17, correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Again, the kind of general exhortation we've been moving along here, that there is an authority, one who is above, who has that authority over one who is below, and that you are to exercise that, whoever you are, whatever those relationships are used or are described in vernacular in English, you are to use that authority for the good of that one below, and it will delight you both. It will give delight to your soul. Now, of course, within the home, this is supposed to be done with the Bible, with the Holy Scriptures. So verse 18 says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. I remember when The Purpose Driven Life first came out, there was a bit in there where Pastor Warren used this verse to say how the church needs a visionary leader. And I think he couldn't be more wrong. I think what it really says is that where the church forgets that the vision is already laid down once and for all in the 66 books of the Old and New Testament, once and for all, that this is the final thing which we are to believe. And where that goes away, where the revelation of the Holy Scriptures, Old and New Testament, are cast off, well, then the people under that will cast off its truth. And yet, again, even if you find yourself in such an age, a place where there is no revelation, where there is a famine of the word of God, where people go from coast to coast seeking for a word or a sign, happy is he who keeps the Torah. Happy is he who has the scriptures. Happy is he who has, well, the Bible and the wisdom therein.
We're talking about Proverbs 29 in our series on the book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of the Sons of Solomon. We'll take up these words next. A servant will not be corrected by mere words, for though he understands, he will not respond. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Sanctifying your insomnia with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, you will find rest for your soul, strength for the day, forgiveness of sins, and hope for the future through Jesus Christ. Because at Hope, you'll hear the Word of God faithfully taught and receive the sacrament faithfully delivered. This is Pastor Ben Meyer inviting you to join us at Hope for Bible class and Sunday school at 9:15 a.m. and the Divine Service at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Find us on the web at hopelutheransunbury.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is leading us in a teaching on Proverbs 29, verses 14 through 23. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Folks, if your church is approaching an anniversary, Ad Crucem can produce banners, ornaments, and other items just for this occasion. Learn more at adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com. Jonathan, we come to verse 29, and it reads thus, "A servant will not be corrected by mere words, for though he understands, he will not respond."
Right, so once upon a time, I used to listen to the world a lot more than I do. And one of my favorite guys in the world to listen to is named Tim Ferriss. He taught me a lot of wisdom, actually. It was wily wisdom, right? Worldly wisdom. Go back to the beginning of the series, and we talked about how if you attend to natural law and to the first article of creation, as we Lutherans like to say, there is a wisdom of the world that is good. It is just. It is perceptive. I think maybe even the best word is prudent. It is prudent. That's the word that the Old Testament uses to describe the devil. Before we knew him as the devil, when he was just the snake in the garden, he was more prudent than all the other animals. And that was a gift God had given him, which he abused, but which nonetheless were promised in the wisdom of the scriptures. So one of the prudent insights I got from Tim Ferriss was that what matters in most organizations, or in, say, sales, or even in many relationships, is incentive. Incentive. That a person will genuinely do what they see as good for themselves. This is just a fact. And if you can watch Christians, we're the same way. In fact, I might even suggest to you that one of the incentives for being a Christian is that being a Christian and following the scriptures is better than not. Yeah, so there is a good part of there being incentive in life, but there is also a very, very dangerous idolatry at work in the flesh of mankind, incentive. And I think then, again, Proverbs 29:19 gets at that when it tells us that a servant will not be corrected by mere words. What it means is reason is finally not enough to motivate someone who doesn't want to do what you want them to do. Now, they're a servant not because of choice usually, but because that's the lot in life they have. And you can tell them to do it. You can pay them to do it. You can rah-rah them to do it. But really, at the end of the day, they're going to do it because they want to, or they're not going to do it. And so that's why you would pay or cajole or try to sell them a good idea, because indeed, that's what motivates a person. And I mentioned Rick Warren's purpose-driven stuff a while back, and I think there's a number of concerns with those resources. He did, however, put his finger on something. And that is the meaninglessness of the American blight life, the sad lack of spiritual nutrition in the average human's daily sojourn through ash and trial. And well, for most of us, it's just a lot of blue light and gasoline, some coffee, right? But it is just not a fulfilling life. And what Rick Warren then again noticed is that the word purpose is sort of what that's about, that you would have a trajectory, that you would have a way to go, a way that is right. And so again, verse 19 is showing us that if you want anyone to follow you, if you want anyone to believe something, they got to know why. There's got to be a reason. You can't just make people do things because. And that's, I think, maybe why we see so much fracturing going on today, is at the moment, leadership is believed to be largely about dictate, as opposed to being about winning people, again, with true and just words like we started with today. So out of this then, speaking of true and just words, verse 20 says, "Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than him." Now, this is one that has a special place in my heart. I tend to feel rather condemned every time I read it. The number of times in my ministry, which has been filled with marvelous, great people, that some of those really amazing people have taken the time to say, "Hey, Pastor Fisk, you know, you talk kind of fast." It is so many. It is many, many, many.
And I always just kind of don't know what to say, because indeed I do. I talk fast. I think fast too. We could talk at length about it. It's not that exciting, really. But then here I am, a man hasty in his words. And here is this proverb saying, there's more hope for a fool than for you. Now, let me back off from that a second and say, well, therefore, I've pondered this for some time and begged the Lord to help me have some insight. And what I think it's getting at is less about speed per se, but it is about why you're going at what speed you're going. Haste isn't quickness. Haste is a form of panic. And indeed, there are times when I find myself panicked and speaking faster than I ought, and then stumbling over my own thoughts and words. And I can feel the sweat rising as it happens. It's just a horrible experience. So that is true. And there is not much hope for a person who's panicking. There is not much hope for a group that panics. And this is where then good words preserve you. Good words repeated until they are known and understood and become part of who you are, they're what keep you level when everyone else is panicking. Having the scriptures as your barometer while everyone else is watching the nightly news keeps you from believing, honestly, the insanity that they are preaching these days in this pagan culture that we live in. Now, to kind of move in the direction of parenting again, verse 21 sees that there's a connection between the words that we speak, the loss of understanding and panic, and children that are unprepared for this life. Right? The children that are treated as if this life is easier than it is. Verse 21 says, he who pampers his servant from childhood will have him as a son in the end. I mean, it's about not spoiling anyone, I think, is the real idea here. It's to understand that partiality is bad measurement. What you want is to treat your servant like a good servant and your child like a good child. And then even among them, you'll have Ricky and Bobby, and you'll have Debbie and Christine, and you'll treat them like the people that they are. Different, diverse, unique, and made by God, but impartial then when it comes to truth. That for each person, diverse as we are, there is still the same measurement of what discipline is, what knowledge is, and what wisdom is. And if you can't apply that in your own life, then everything that's yours will belong to someone else in the end. And you might just end up like verse 22 says, you're just an angry man who stirs up strife and a furious man who abounds in transgression. And that's got to be taken with verse 23, which is going to be our final verse for the day, that a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Sounds a lot like a verse that's quoted by both James and Peter about how the Lord casts down those who are proud, but he exalts the humble or the afflicted. A man's pride is his sense of honor, and his anger is usually about his sense of dishonor. And together, they can be a real problem, especially when you don't have a good measuring stick. If you're going to measure your honor by the stories of the Greeks, if you're going to worship the Greek gods as some Platonic philosopher, well, then you're going to have a very different reality in your head and your heart than the person who worships Jesus Christ through the Old and New Testaments of Holy Scripture, wherein you're going to see what anger does to say Saul, and then you're going to see what pride does to say David, and you're going to see how these two men have very different spirits when it comes to repentance, yeah, and how the humility of David in the end is his trust in Jesus Christ, and how the furious insanity of Saul that drives him to the witch of Endor so he abounds in transgression and in the strife which is stirred up in him is all because he cannot see that he needs a savior. And that knowing that you need a savior, seeing that you need a savior, that this is the greatest wisdom of all. We've been talking about this through the end. And that Jesus, the great wise man, is not merely a guru, but one who dies to save. He's not merely a king, but one who reigns in order to roll out a salvation you couldn't get for yourself, a resurrection from the dead, and a life everlasting.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois, advocate of the Sons of Solomon, and author of several books, including his latest, Without Flesh. You'll find a link to this book and to Sons of Solomon on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesztc.org. Jonathan, thanks.
Hallelujah.
Dr. John Bombaro is with us next. We're going to talk about preaching and the big screen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Your funeral is the last opportunity to make your confession, your final confession from the grave, as it were. In your funeral, you confess before the world what you believe and in whom you trust, Christ and Him crucified. The September issue of the Luther Witness will help you think through this final confession of yours. It will help you think through the funeral service, funeral arrangements, hymns, and more. To purchase your copy of the Luther Witness, visit cph.org/witness. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those words of Jesus have been the motto of Concordia University Chicago for generations. We build our education on the Word of God, the only sure foundation for learning. I'm Dr. Adam Francisco, Dean of the College of Theology, Arts, and Humanities at Concordia Chicago. And I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for God's Word to become the foundation of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You may be one of those pastors who need to be refreshed and refueled because of your parish ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Concordia Theological Seminary has a wonderful program, not only in continuing education during the summer, but in an advanced study program called the Doctor of Ministry. And it's a very practical program because it focuses on congregational ministry. It incorporates biblical theology with the ministry of the congregation. It's also very accessible for pastors, and it's also affordable. You can major in pastoral care and leadership, teaching and preaching, or mission and culture. And we pray that pastors will take advantage of this program.
Learn more about the Doctorate of Ministry program at ctsfw.edu or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.